Blog Talk Radio.
Da 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 da. I was meant to fly. Oh, 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 oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
Glad to be here this morning.
Glad for you to be here. As I mentioned in the introduction, your daughter was diagnosed with a rare condition called omphalocele.
Yes.
Did you sense this during your pregnancy before she was born? And when did you find out that of her condition?
Well, I did sense that there was something wrong because there were sometimes there's little indicators, you know. You might have a pain or a, you know, an abnormal circumstance that happens to you physically as a mother. And early on, maybe about in my fourth going into my fifth month, I had something that happened to me where I had to go to the hospital and have attention, and I won't go into detail, but it didn't look good, and I was very concerned, but I gave it to God even right then. I just said, no, you know, this is very scary. This is very concerning to me, but even then I gave it to God.
And when did you find out, when were you informed that she had Omphalocele?
I was informed that she had an Omphalocele probably around my sixth month, and I also found out that I had a girl. And I have two sons, and I pretty much had given up on having a girl, so I, you know, it was kind of like bittersweet. You have a girl, but she's got an Omphalocele.
Yeah.
And I refused to let the bitter take away from the sweet. I just told God, thank you so much, because I wasn't expecting a girl. I just wanted a healthy child. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the doctor's report said that there was a hole in her stomach and that the umbilical cord wasn't closing and that she may have to have 18 operations when she's born.
Now, does she have the large or the small Omphalocele?
Looking back on it, you know, she was also a few weeks premature.
Uh-huh.
And if I gave an estimation, I would say it was large because when she was born, I could see it with my natural eye. I could see organs, you know, at least a half an inch outside of her, you know, of her body. So I would say that it was large, especially with that amount of operations that were scheduled.
Did they give you a lot of information about what it was and what to expect?
Yes and no. You know, doctors, especially when you're dealing with expectant mothers, they don't overdo it because they want you to stay in good emotional health. They try to give you the basics of what you're up against and kind of gradually bring you into reality of your situation. But the majority of them, you know, their job is to diagnose sickness and illness and disease and to give you whatever remedies are out there that will, you know, help. So, yeah, they did. They gave me as much information as could be expected.
Okay. No mother wants to hear this. Hear any type of news about their child.
Right.
What was your initial reaction?
Well, let me go in reverse a little bit. Once I knew when I had this, I'll just say it was sort of like a loss of blood incident when I was around 4 months pregnant. I started committing to praying 1 hour a day. That's a long time for a lot of people, but every day on my lunch hour, I would go pray, and I would cry out to God, and I mean faithfully. I would leave. I had a regular job then. I worked downtown for the state of Indiana, and I would leave, and I would go to my church, and most days no one would be there at noon, and I would get on that altar, and I would pray, and cry and pray and cry and pray, and I did that for the remainder of my pregnancy up until it was a few weeks for me to be for my due date. And I made up in my mind, I think the doctors almost thought that I was literally going insane, because although I got their report, I refused to let it be the final report. There's a scripture that says, you know, whose report, or a song and a scripture that a song is based off a scripture that says, whose report will you believe? And it said, we will believe the report of the Lord. And I knew that the word says that by his stripes ye were healed. And I knew that he took a stripe, he took a whip on his back to heal my infant from this condition that she was born with. So I dealt with it, I accepted it, but I accepted the word over the report of the doctor.
They put a cover on to protect it.
Yes.
And when was she scheduled for her first surgery?
My God, probably about 3 days after she was born. It was very traumatic for me looking back. You know, in the silo, keep in mind she was premature, so the silo that they put on there, if you could imagine a styrofoam cup, a small styrofoam cup, that was about the size of the silo because she was just that tiny. And 3 days after she was born, they said, okay, we're going to go on and take her in. And the procedures for the 18 operations were that they would literally take the organs and they push them down, you know, millimeters at a time, just a little bit here and a little bit there. They open, you know, this was to be the procedure. They'd open her up, push the organs down, because as you know, organs are meant to be in a certain place, and they're not there. You can't just take your hand and mash them back down in place.
Right.
So 3 days afterwards, I believe it was around 3 days, she was scheduled for that first operation.
I think you pretty much answered how you cope with this. You went into prayer, and how else did you deal with this? After they told you about the first surgery?
Just reading the Word of God. I read every scripture on healing that I could get my hands on. I recounted in my mind the woman with the issue of blood. I thought about the man that was paralyzed. I thought about even when Peter walked past somebody and his shadow healed. Anything that had to do with healing, I ate it. I chewed it. It just went into my very being. That was one of the ways that in praying that I was able to cope.
So at what point did you say, I'm going to stop worrying about this and just put it in God's hands? Was it from the beginning, or at what point did you let it go and let God?
Let me tell you something. I'm going to just be real with you. When you get a report like that, you know, your mouth is saying that you put it in God's hands, but your mind, you know, the devil is constantly attacking your mind. That's why it's so important to have the Word of God. I mean, even if you have to get a little book dealing with scriptures in the area that you're believing in for, if it's success, if it's for healing, whatever it's for, constantly read those scriptures and quote them every day. But although I was saying I put this in God's hand, the devil wasn't giving me no rest as far as that's concerned. So I had to trust, and when you get into the area of trust, you're dealing with faith. So faith in God is how I was able to not worry about it. The thoughts came, but faith, it's like being in suspended animation, and you know that God's hand is right up under you. You're not going to fall. And that's how I was able to rest on it.
So a miracle happened.
Yes.
What happened the day of her surgery?
The first day of her surgery, you know, I was a wreck. Like I just said, the thoughts still come. And to see my baby being rolled off in the surgery, this tiny little child, all these doctors around her, and they didn't have her, you know, because she was so small, they didn't have her on a regular breathing machine. They had that, it's like this little air pump, and they have to pump it manually with their hand. And, boy, just the sight of that, I was like, Lord, I got to trust them doing that with their hand. And they, you know, just these thoughts. And they rolled her in there, and about 3 hours later, I'll never forget it, her pediatrician and the other physicians came out, and they took those little white masks off their face, The female doctor came to me, and she said, you've had quite a day, haven't you? And I said, yes. And she smiled. I saw her smile, and she said, I got some good news for you. And she said, we took the silo off your child's stomach to begin to press the organs down. And the organs, when we took them off, we found that they had settled back into your baby's body, into the place that they should have been when she was born. And all we had to do was stitch her skin closed.
Wow.
God had performed an operation. Angels had got together before the doctors came in and basically told them, no surgery is necessary. We got this.
How was she doing? This was 7 years ago?
7 years ago. She just turned 7 in December.
How's she doing now?
Just the same as any other child that's born that runs circles around you and chatterbox, and she's 100% normal. No abnormal.
No complications. No
complications. No complications.
Wow.
No complications.
You ministered.
Go ahead.
You minister to the disabled community, correct?
Yes, I have.
What was that ministry?
The ministry that I have when I am ministering to anybody that is disabled is love. Love is such a healing power. There's one particular individual, you know, I've seen sometimes at hospitals where there are children. I have a heart for children in hospitals, for anyone, but especially children, because they should be out playing and enjoying life, not being in the hospital. But there's just a overwhelming amount of love that comes out of me wherever I am when it deals with children and disabilities. Whenever I see a child in a wheelchair, even at the grocery store, I'm smiling at them. I give them eye contact because I know they experience so much curiosity from people and stares and glares from other children, that I make it a goal. Then when I see a child that's disabled, I'm telling you, I don't care how far gone it seems they are with cerebral palsy or anything like that, when you make eye contact with that child and that child knows that you're looking at them in love, they recognize it.
So those who have given up hope, what word of encouragement would you like to share with them?
I would just share that God is not a liar. I have lived a little while on this earth, and I'm telling you that everything, every promise, you can take it to the bank. The work, the hardest thing that a person has to do in this life is just believe. There is a scripture in the Bible that talks about a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. And Jesus said that his faith was greater than any other faith, than any other man or person that he had met in Israel, because that centurion met him and said, "Hey, I got a sick servant, not a sick soldier, but a sick servant at my house, and he's on the point of death." And Jesus said, "I'll come to your house. I'll physically come, and you can see me healing." Paraphrasing it. And the centurion said, No, you don't have to come. See, I recognize authority. I'm a man under authority, and I have authority." And he said that if you just speak the word, because I know who you are, I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at this man. And I said, "Lord, here this man stood before him and saw him face to face. I got 66 books of nothing but the word of God and the word of Jesus. And you mean to tell me that I can't look at that book and believe God the same way that centurion believed it?" I said, "You spoke it, you said it, and I believe it. Believe it when you do not see it. Believe it when you do not feel it. Believe it when you do not have it. It's doing some damage in the realm of the spirit." And I will just tell you, if you ain't got nothing else, you believe God till from the day you're born to the day you die. And I'm telling you, God will come through. He might not come through exactly when you want him to, but as they say in my sister Baptist church's baby, he'll always be right on time. He will come and he will give you what you need when you need it, and he will also bless you with what you didn't even ask for, just for your faithfulness and believing him. So my advice, believe.
Thank you for that. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, you're a gospel artist and you minister through your voice. You have a new CD called Changing Places.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired this CD?
It's what inspired the songs on that CD was me going through hell and high water for a long time and wanting to come out of it and wanting other people to come out of it. you get one life on this planet. And I wanted to encourage people that you can be happy in this life. You can change places from being broke to having some money, from being sick to being healthy, from being a victim to being a victor. There are things that can change, but it's a mindset, and I had to go through that mindset change because I was good at being a victim. You hear me? I was good at being a victim. I said, I'm not being a victim no more in no area of my life. Ain't nobody hold me down but me. And so changing places was birthed out of that, and it's about how to go from being ungrateful to grateful, unthankful to thankful, thanking God for what you got, thanking God for where you are, that you ain't, that you didn't, you know, that you, he delivered you from the past place of where you are, and you're in a new place now, that we're continually evolving. And so changing places was birthed out of that, and also putting demands on radio, playing better music, putting demands on people to live a better life. It's just changing places from unfortunate to fortunate place to be.
Well, I want to play one of the songs off your CD, Changing Places. I love the title. And here's For All the Love by Joan Rochelle.
Dream come true, and the way you care for me, no one can compare you. I know it's taking time to rearrange my mind from all the hurts and pains that have happened in my life, but me and you are one, and I always seek your face. There's no other lover that could ever take your place. I keep my mind on you and everything you do.
Yeah.
Well, they should be able to go pretty much anywhere. They can always try Berean, Walmart. They can go online to Amazon.com, CDUniverse.com, any place online. That's if you can't find it in the store where your listeners are, Borders Books, so pretty much anywhere. But again, if they don't find it on the shelf, definitely go online and you can order it anywhere. It is universally distributed.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you hope to accomplish over the next 5-10 years?
My number one accomplishment is that I remain and I maintain and that I aspire to be an asset to humanity, an asset to God, just to mankind, period, you know, and some people don't think I'm serious when I say that, but I could do a whole lot of stuff for myself and, you know, want to be just the biggest thing, you know. Of course, I do have goals of being like the musical Oprah Winfrey, okay? But even in that, she is an asset to humanity. Sometimes
yeah.
She don't always do things that I particularly agree with, but as far as her heart of giving, everybody should want to give as much. So that's my main goal in the next 5 to 10 years is to grow as a person and to be able to give more and more and more and more of myself to humanity.
Before we go, and I know you've already given us a word of inspiration, but some people just need to hear it
mm-hmm.
more than once. Could you leave us with an inspirational word?
I sure will. During the interview, I've been talking about faith and so on, but I want to tell you why it is so important to believe, and it's because God loves you. In Romans 8:38, it says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature can or shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That says that there is nothing from beginning of time to the end of time that can separate us from God's love. If he will go through those lengths to show us how much he loves us, you, me, how much more can we depend on healing? How much more can we depend on success? How much more can we depend on our prayers being heard? How much more can we depend on our bills being paid? It says nothing, not no job layoff, not no situation can separate us from the love of God. He loves us.
Wow. Thank you. Could you give us your, what is your website?
The easiest one is myspace.com/June Rochelle. Just go to that webpage and send me emails, get in contact with me, check out some videos, and, of course, go get the CD, bless somebody with it. It is definitely an encouragement CD.
It is. June, I want to thank you for sharing your testimony. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I wish you much continued success and many blessings. And, again, thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I wanted to also thank the listeners for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Thank you.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no. I was meant to fly over hills and mountains, over lakes and valleys. I was meant to fly.